Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you for joining us on A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tracy Luanda. And we have a dynamic guest tonight. Mr. Crockett is a hardworking man who believes in giving 110% to his employer. He has had issues that he's had to deal with in the workplace, and we'll share some insight tonight on how to make it through the ups and the downs in the workplace. Our topic for today is called Issues in the Workplace. We will be right back after this short intermission, so stay right where you are. Again, thank you for joining us on Blog Talk Radio, A Word for You. I'm your host, Tracy Luanda, and we have a dynamic guest tonight. His name is Mr. Crockett, and he's going to be sharing with us some of the ups and the downs that we all face in the workplace on tonight. The issue and the topic that we are discussing is issues in the workplace. Welcome back to A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back. The topic tonight is called Issues in the Workplace, and I would like to share some biblical principles and some workplace commentary with you. At A Word for You, we deal with everyday issues using sound biblical principles for understanding and answers. These sound biblical principles not only work in the spiritual realm, but also in other aspects of our life. Now, I've had to learn that the job God has given unto me as well as you, even though I work for Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, God is my employer. He is my boss. Why? Because he is the one that woke me up. He is the one that started me on my way, and he is the one that clothed me in my right mind. So God is the one that has given us the job. So whatever job we may have, we have to look at it as we are working, that God is our boss, that we're working for God. Let's look at the word in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now, see, when I read that scripture, it tells my spiritual woman that we have to work. By working, we are able to put food on the table so that we can eat. Amen? So if you don't work, well, then you don't eat. That's what it says in the Word of God. According also to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31, as an employee, we should not participate in any activities that are dishonorable. Because therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Remember that no employer has the right to require any employees to take part in sexual or moral situations in order to keep their job. Also, as an employee, we should always give a full day's work and never take advantage of our employers. An example would be cheating the company out of time. You know where I'm coming from on that. We've all done that. Work that is owed to our employer. See, we have to enjoy our work. We have to enjoy what we do. So therefore, if we enjoy what we do, then we are going to give our employer a full day's work. We're not going to cheat him or her out of work. Because according to the word in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we should have to, if we're going to do anything, know that God, we are working for God, so therefore God is the one that is watching over us. Amen? Now, our last commentary on work is comes out of the book of Psalms, the 105th chapter, verses 23, where the word reads, "Man goes out to his work and to his labor until evening." Now, many of us have jobs where we have to work late hours. We must remember to put our priorities in order. Remember that God is the one that gave you the job. God is also the one that has given you the health and the strength to work. So we must make sure that we put our priorities in check, okay? Don't make your job or your career your God. You hear so many times, he or she is a workaholic. They sleep work and they wake up thinking about work. My goodness, remember, we serve a jealous God. Make sure in all that you do that you put God first. Thank him and praise him for your health and your strength. And thank him for clothing you in your right mind. Make sure when you're worshiping anything that you're worshiping the Lord and not your job or career. All right. Well, let's get right on with the show. I have my guests with me on tonight. I'm excited. So let's see here. Joining us tonight is my guest, Mr. Crockett, and I want to welcome you to A Word for You. Are you on the air with us? Mr. Crockett? It seems like I'm having some technical difficulty here. Let me click on once again. Mr. Crockett? Hello? You're on the air. Hello? I cannot hear you. Hello? We are having some difficulties here. We had someone in the chat room and they left. So what's really going on? So let's take a short break and have our guests call back in, and we will go ahead and start this show. Stay right where you are, and thank you for stopping by at A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. Are you on the air with us, Mr. Crockett?
There you
go. Thank you. Our guest is here, so we're going to go ahead and get right into our discussion. Welcome, Mr. Crockett, and I thank you for accepting the invitation to be on A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. I thank God for you on today. Well, Mr. Crockett, we're going to go right into the show here for time's sake, because we're like 51 minutes remaining in this awesome show that we're going to do on tonight. First, could you let our listening audience know how old were you when you started working? What was the age when you started, you know, going into the work field?
About 15.
Wow, 15 years. Oh, my goodness. And could you elaborate a little bit on what type of work it was that you did at 15?
Just odds and ends. Like just general work, cleaning, stuff like that. Not major.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Now, so, you know, let's just stop right here for a minute. Now, being a young person at 15, what can you say to maybe a listener that might come on and who's 15 years old that says, you know, man, I'm not going to work for no, you know, at McDonald's or Burger King? What would you say to a young person about the work ethics?
Well, you have to start somewhere. I mean, regardless of pay and where it is, you have to start somewhere if you're willing to work.
Great, that's good, that's good. So you, basically they have to start somewhere just like you did, and I'm thankful for that. Now, could you share with our listening audience on tonight, Mr. Crockett, what are some of the issues that you've had to deal with as an adult? Now, we're speaking on an adult, in the adult stage of your life. You know, some of the issues that you have had to deal with in the workplace, and after you elaborate a little bit on that, share with us on how did you go about dealing with them. You know, let's talk about some, you know, issues that you've had to face in the workplace. You can start anywhere your spirit is leading you.
Well, favoritism, discrimination, basically those are two main things. You know, everybody got their favorites. You know, on the job, that's one thing you have to deal with. You know, it's a lot of discrimination. So basically you have to deal with a lot being out there. It's not easy.
Yeah, right.
And quite so people, how did... A lot of people know.
Go ahead. No, I just wanted to know, so how did you deal with though favoritism? How does one deal with knowing that there's favoritism on the workplace, in the workplace? How do you deal with that?
It all depends on, you know, you can, some things you let go for a while and they can start getting to you. I mean, sooner or later you're going to have to let it out. You have to take it to management and just try to let them know about it. If you don't see nothing being done about it, you just... I mean, it's hard to say. Either you keep your mind focused on what you're doing because you know you're there to work, or either you can find another job. So, I mean, it all depends on the company itself, because sometimes people don't listen to you. So you have to have a mind to know pretty much what to do in that situation.
Good, good. That's good. I like that. I love that answer. That's very encouraging to someone that may not be listening right now, but will be listening to our archives. Now, what is your view on union versus non-union jobs? Let's start
with union, you have more leeway. You got better benefits, supposedly. Everything the union offers is better than non-union because, you know, retirement, they probably got a package deal for you.
Mm.
You know, for his non-union, the company can pretty much just do what they want.
Mm.
And that's where you only got the labor board to help you, and that takes forever.
Mm.
You know, so when a union, like I said, they got better benefits, a better package for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Non-union, you just basically got to do what the company, how they want it done.
I see. Have you ever been with a union before?
Yeah, but my experience wasn't that good with the union.
No.
Because we had a union that pretty much was basically for the company and us, so we was in a no-win situation. I don't know if because every time the contract signing came up, it's like the union was pretty much for the company, but if they think you don't know better, you know, they just play games with you. But they got different kind of unions, too.
Oh, okay.
So it all depends on the union itself, you know. Like people always talk about Teamster is the best union to be in, so I wasn't in Teamster. Some other kind of union, and they wasn't that good for us representing people.
Okay.
So it all depends on the union itself.
Okay. Thank you. I enjoyed listening to your views on that. Now, let the listening audience out there know, how do you deal with an unethical boss? You know, that manager or boss who is doing things that are not right, unethical, outright illegal. Because he or she is the manager or boss, what do you do about that situation? Especially if there's, you know, a group of you know, but I'm speaking specifically to you. What would you do if you had to deal with an unethical boss? If you knew that he was doing something outright illegal, something that was totally unethical. How would you, you know, how would you go about dealing with that situation?
Well, if it's going to jeopardize my health and welfare, you know, I know my rights. I can refuse to do certain things. But
right.
Some people don't know, and some people just afraid for their jobs. And I mean, you have to just know how to go by the situation itself, whatever is going on at the time. You know, if
yeah.
it's like I said, for me in general, I can let something go so long. You know, I have to speak up sooner or later. Some people won't.
Right.
And you try to do it in a manner to where, you know, there's no violence or they don't see a sign of you reacting on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way to where, oh, I know I got them, I got them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of know how to come at them and just know how to handle the situation without letting them know that it's really getting to you. Just kind of brings their attention to, you know, kind of find out why they're doing it, you know.
Right.
Other than that, you know, you just got to, you know, try to deal with it. As long as he's not putting your life in danger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All the other little stuff that he's doing, sometimes, you know, you can look over that. As long as he's not in your face personally all the time, you know, there's some things you can look over because, you know, hey, I'm here to work just like he here to work.
Right,
I can come
exactly.
in tomorrow. I can come in tomorrow. Or I can come back in today. He can be gone, just things he done, you know, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically you just got to know the situation and don't react violently. That's the main thing.
Right. Well, Mr. Crockett, now I know that your profession is that of a truck driver. This is another scenario. Let's say that your manager or boss axes you to drive a truck that you know is unsafe. You know that you have made reports on it, that certain things need to be fixed on it, but yet some things were fixed, but the main things that needed to be fixed as far as safety-wise wasn't. How are you going to tell that boss or that manager, you know, that you don't want to drive this unsafe truck? How do you go about doing that? Do you bring it to their attention or do you just go ahead and take a chance?
You let them know. You don't drive it. You refuse to drive it. There's nothing you can do about it. That's on that's the law. Nothing you can do about it. If it's something unsafe that, because you know you have to go bypass CHP scales, and you get pulled in. If it's unsafe, you know you can get in trouble too. So that's why you do an inspection on the truck, and they find out that. Okay, did you do an inspection? Yes, I did. Well, did you catch this? Everything on that list you're supposed to check off. And if you got it checked off, that's me, it's okay. But if you know something is unsafe and you report it and wrote it on the board or whatever and they still trying to force you to drive it, you can report it. But you can refuse to drive it and some managers think maybe know that some people, like I say, don't know the laws.
Yeah.
You know, they scared to lose their job. You know, they're fired, but not knowing that they'll be in trouble finding that person for refusing to drive a truck that's unsafe. So you know you don't have to. Bottom line is you can refuse it. You can tell them no, I'm not going to drive this truck because it's unsafe unless you fix it.
Okay, great. Well, Mr. Crocker, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with a couple of more questions for you. And, again, I thank you so much for joining us on A Word for You. And stay right where you are, listening audience, because we'll be right back after this short intermission.
When you're down in trouble, you need some love and care. Ain't nothing
Welcome back to A Word For You. This is your host, Tracy LaWanda, and we have a dynamic guest on the line, on the air with us tonight. His name is Mr. Crockett, and he's sharing with us some issues that we all face in the workplace. And again, I thank you for joining us on A Word For You on Blog Talk Radio. So we're going back now to our discussion here. We left off with Mr. Crockett sharing with us, you know, his profession as a truck driver, and if he was asked to drive an unsafe truck, he gave us a little bit of insight on how to go about that, dealing with that with our boss or or manager. Now, Mr. Crockett, I want to ask you this. Now, how do you deal with a rude, bad-mannered, aggressive, nosy coworker? All up in your mix, all up in your Kool-Aid.
That's tough. You deal with them all the time.
So how do you deal with them? How do you deal with those kind of people?
Basically, if oh man, that's a tough question. It's hard. You try not to pay them no attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to get into it with them sooner or later because they're always in your business. But the way I have handled those type of situations, I've had it out with the person. And after that, you know, I just told them to stay out of my face. You know, don't say nothing
right.
to me. Mind your
right.
business. And if they continue, you know, I just take it to management. And
yeah, right, right.
Management don't take care of it. You know, you just gotta pretty much just try to work it. I mean, pretty much try to work it out. I'm not saying with the person because some people never change. You know,
that's true.
So they live to try to make people miserable, life miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type of people just don't pay no attention to. You know, they'll do things to make you react because they'll
mm-hmm.
see the reaction on your face from before. Oh, I know
right.
what ticks them off. I know what ticks them off. So
that's good.
You know, I had that happen to me. You know, I you know, come in to see my truck loaded a certain way, and this particular person, they know that gets to me. So when
right.
I just start ignoring the situation, I didn't have a problem.
That's good.
You know, even if the truck was not routed right, I just politely just close my door and take off like everything is okay.
Right.
And that's when you start seeing a little change in the person. But it won't go away, but you just got to just, because you get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, you know, you try to take care of your family. So
that's right.
Don't never let a person make you lose your job behind stupidity.
That's good. That is so very true. And some people, like you were saying, they know what makes you tick if you allow them to see how you react to certain situations. Whereas you said, if you just basically ignore them, even though it's like getting under your skin, you just want to scream out and just tell them, give them people a piece of your mind. But if you just ignore them, it will cause them to kind of back off, as you said, for the simple fact that if you're not reacting to bad manners and their rudeness and their nosiness, then you know what I'm saying. You don't have nothing. You know they have nothing to you know to use against you. But as soon as you start to react to them, that's when all of the stuff in the situation can become more bigger than what it is. Because I know for myself, I had to deal with people that try to get under your skin because they want you to leave the job because they want your position. You know, people will do those kind of things. People will be all in, you know, nosy about, you know, what did you talk to the boss about if they see you going to the boss's office, whatever the case may be. Again, because they want to try to get you to the point where, you know what, I can't take this anymore. You're so rude. You're so nosy. And, you know, leave your job so that then now they can step into the position that you once held. So anybody that's listening out there, Mr. Crockett gave some good advice when he says, to ignore that, even though it's hard, that is something that we must and we should try to do, to ignore that individual that is nosy, to ignore that individual that is very rude. You know, try to keep the peace. And if it doesn't work where the ignoring the individual is not working, then, as Mr. Crockett stated, you should go to the manager or the boss and let them know what the situation that you're dealing with is at hand, and allow management to go ahead and you know, step in from then on. So that was good. That was good, Mr. Crockett. Thank you so much for sharing. Because, see, that's going to help somebody that's dealing with that, because especially in these last and evil days that we're in, we're dealing with so many people that have these negative attitudes and are very rude and are very nosy. And, you know, people have to know that you have to ignore those people that have those kind of characteristics. Now, what is your belief on this so-called open-door policy? You know how managers say, you know, or owners say, you know, come on, and if you have any problems, you know, put it in the comment box, or come, my door's always open, you can sit down and talk to me, or whatever the case may be. Do you really feel, Mr. Crockett, that your voice is getting heard if you had to go ahead and use that that policy, that open door policy?
Nah, that doesn't work. I haven't proven it work yet. I don't think it worked for it. It all depends on. It very seldom you find people in management that works for a company that's willing, because a lot of times it's not the people. Like, let's say someone that owns a. Let's say you work for a big corporation,
mm-hmm.
Someone that owns a firm that basically you're working for someone. Now, mm-hmm. if you're not dealing with if this is not the actual people that own the company itself saying this, if it's just management, no.
Right.
Because who, you know, they always say that as soon as you voice your opinion. You know, I have voiced my opinion a lot, and I don't
mm-hmm.
even, we have meetings now, I don't even say nothing. I just, it goes in one ear and not the other, because they don't listen, you know, because they feel, okay, if I'm management, if I'm over you, why should I listen
mm-hmm.
to you? And a lot of people don't want to listen to people that's under them, underneath them.
They
say your opinion, you know, if I can make your job easier, just it's something we can do to make each individual job a little easier. Just let us know.
Right.
And when you let them know, it never happens.
Mm.
You know, because everyone has so much on their mind. You know, it depends on what, especially in management, that, you know, they have a lot to do.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, like I say, it's very seldom. I only had one manager that actually listened. But it's very seldom you will find one, like, you know, I mean, I don't even know the odds of that.
Right, right.
You know, so my experience in that, based on my experience.
Right,
that,
right.
That just to make you feel, how would you say it? Just to make you feel like, you know, you work here, you have a right to say, you know, voice your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that just to make you feel like, okay, I work here, I can't let them know if I don't like this. Or because everybody want everything done, in management, they want it done their way. You know,
right.
This is the bottom line. This is how I see it working. Well, if you're on the other end of that, but you're doing a job that you see that it makes it easier for you, but he don't want it that way, so what can you do?
Yes.
I mean, you got to just continue doing what you're doing. So, and after about voicing your opinion, you can voice it, but it's very seldom that they're going to they pretend. That's why I always have I have never had to wear, okay, you know, oh, my door is always open, management. My door is always open. It's always a group thing. It's always a group thing. So when you get in these meetings, you know, they always want everybody to pretty much just, okay, if anything you want to say, just say it, you know, just
mm-hmm.
if anything changed. So, you know, me personally, that's just part of working. Every company has to pretty much seem like they have to say that. That's just a common word.
Mm.
So, do they really care? In my opinion,
no.
Well, because we are here to collect a paycheck.
I come here
to do my job just like you.
Yeah.
And basically, I have a lot to deal with, and you just have minimum to deal with because you're under me. Just do it my way. And they may say, yeah, okay, we'll take that into consideration. But when is it going to change? Never.
My goodness.
That's my opinion.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because some people just feel that, you know, that they can go ahead and use that opening that the boss says, come on, you know, my door is always open to hear what you have to say, you know, put your input and things of that sort. And I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of people that feel that they will go to a boss or management to let them know of some things that they want to address, but yet are those issues that they're bringing forth to that boss, are they really going to be remended? You know, are they really going to be taken care of? Is the boss really going to go ahead and step in and you know, make a change? You know, so, you know, everything you said is right on point. But, you know, go ahead, though, by all means, listeners. You know, if your company has an open door policy, go ahead and use it, because there may be one boss out there that will listen to what, you know, you have to say. But the majority of the people, just like Mr. Crockett stated, you know, they don't really act on it. They just have that, you know, as a part of their handbook, just to know and say, well, you know, I have an open door policy, so I gave that individual every opportunity to come and talk to me or discuss with me any issues he or she may have been going through. It's just there to have it there. Just like some companies have to hire at least one minority, one African-American, to be in their company. You know, they can have 100 employees, and 99% of them, 99 of those employees can be of Caucasian race, anything other than African-American, let's say. And long as they have one African-American in that place of business, it's all good. So no racial discrimination suits can come up for the simple fact, oh, they have one African-American, even though the other 99 are of other, but they have one. So they're in compliance, basically, with the laws and regulations. How do you feel about that, Mr. Crockett? How do you feel about that you know, that policy that, you know, these companies have, that as long as you have one African-American on board, you're all good?
Well, it makes it hard, you know.
It does.
But this one, they have to bring one in at least, but it's not right, you know.
Right.
So you're still discriminating against.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, we have to deal with a lot, you know, but like you say, you just got to know how to handle the situation, you know. You fill out applications, you always get turned down. A lot of times people feel because of their race.
Mm-hmm.
They may be right. You know, you got to know the situation when you go there, you know. And you see certain people there. It's like, and, you know, I mean, I felt it. So, I mean.
Right.
Like you said, that's the law. That's just how they got it set up.
Mm-hmm.
So. Ain't too much we can do about it. But just, you know, as long as you got a strong will, you know, it's always there's going to always be a way.
Oh, my, that's right. That is right. Ah, that is so true. I just wanted to share a little bit here, Mr. Crockett. We are 24 minutes, well, actually, now 23 minutes remaining in the show. And I wanted to share with you and the listening audience on tonight the rewards of work. One basis of good management is to recognize and reward their employees, okay, for outstanding performances. Still, many employees feel that they never receive any type of recognition. You know, they never receive any, like the ball fan, great job, well job done, or any type of reward, no incentive at all. They deserve for their earthly employers, you know, they deserve that from, again, I said your earthly employers. See, believers are in an ideal situation. If you believe in God, you are truly in an ideal situation. Why? Because when it comes to the question of rewards, God has a recognition and an incentive program that is better than any employer could ever give to you. He has a reward for you. So in your job situations, anything that you may be going through at work, know that you may not get any recognition from your boss. You may have put in 20 extra hours, but yet nobody recognized that Mr. Crockett or Tracy, you know, put in any work, you know, did all of this for them to build and make their company. We won't get the rewards from our earthly employer, but there is a man named the Lord Jesus Christ who arts in heaven, and he is the one that promises to give us recognition if we would just keep our minds on him. Know, like I said in the beginning of the show, that the job that you have to look at that job as you're working for God. Even though you're working for Mr. or Mrs. whoever, you are really working for God. Why? Because God is the one that allowed us to have the jobs that we have. God is the one that has given us the health to be able to go to work. If we're unhealthy, we can't go to work to put food on the table. So God gives us the health and the strength, and we should be so ever thankful. So we have to recognize that God has a recognition and incentive program that is so much better than any employer could ever give to us. He promises us that as we perform everyday duties unto him, again, we have to look at our job that we're working for God. And it will make our job easier because I'm having my dealings with working, you know, to the position that I'm in, you know, tired of doing what I do. But I have to wake up every morning saying, you know what, I'm really working for God, even though I'm getting paid from so-and-so. I'm really working for God. So out there, everyone that's listening out there, look at your job in that sense. Look at your job as if you are, not as if, that you are working for God, that he is your heavenly employer right here on earth. So for every day's duty that you work for the Lord, he will recognize and reward you diligently for your work. Whether employees on earth ever recognize you or appreciate what you do, know that God does. Because it tells us in the word in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 10, and the word says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name. Oh, my goodness. That's the word of God. That's what he's telling us right now. God has not forgotten your work and your labor that you have done and that you are doing for him. He is going to reward you. Jesus said when he left the earth, he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Okay, he's going to prepare a place for us where we don't have to work anymore, where there's no more sorrow, that we don't have to deal with favoritism, that we don't have to deal with the unjust boss, where we don't have to deal with the rude coworker and the nosy coworker. He says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And right here in the Word of God, this is what he promises us. He promises us in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 10, where he says that, for God is not unjust to forget your work. So he's not, everything that you've ever done, he has not forgotten it. He knows what you're doing. He knows how hard you've been working. He knows how many hours you've put in. He knows how you had to take the boss's crap. He knows everything. And I love that about God. I love his word. For he says that he will not forget your work and your labor of the love which you have shown towards him. You know why? Because you're working for God. Even though you're working, like I said, for so-and-so, you're truly working for God. And that's what I wanted to leave everybody with. Know that your job is a job that God has given to you. So we're working for God. And I just thank God for his word. And I truly thank God for my guest on tonight, for him taking the time out to come and share with us. It doesn't look like, oh, I have someone that came in. All right. I have someone that just came in, and we have, what, 18 minutes remaining, and I want to welcome my guest on tonight for joining us. You can call in. I can open up the phone lines, guest Fig, if you have anything you would like to say to the listening audience on tonight, what we're talking about. We have our guest, Mr. Crockett, with us, and we are discussing issues that we've had to face in the workplace. You can call in if you like. The number is 347-945-5903. And again, I welcome you and I thank you for joining us on tonight. Now, Mr. Crockett, before we close our show out, we have 17 minutes remaining. Is there any last-minute points or that you would like to share with us on tonight? Any last-minute words? I wouldn't say last-minute, but anything you have on your heart that you would like to discuss with us on tonight.
Pretty much touched it off. Unless you have more questions, Zach.
Well, my goodness, we did kind of, we went in there. I tell you, I truly enjoyed this. This is a wonderful topic. We might have to have part two. You know, it's been very, 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 very informative and very encouraging. Because we're all dealing with something in the workplace. There's just so much going on in the workplace. How do you feel? Now, we're going to get on a subject that's kind of like, but how do you feel about companies that hire people that don't have the proper documents to be working in the United States?
Well, makes it hard for everybody else.
Right.
Once that actually is legal here.
Yes.
It takes away from this country because.
Yes.
And you're up and coming generation because they're working for less.
Mhm.
And I mean, it just takes a lot out of the economy. So basically, they're working almost under the table.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, they can just pay them the way they want to pay them. And as long as companies can do that, you know, that's a tough thing. I mean,
I know.
As long as they can do that, there's no, I mean, this country is going to continue to be in this situation as here.
Yes.
But the law pretend that they care.
Mm.
But they don't. I mean, they have to put it out there to address
right.
it. But how often, how many times have they done that? Just a circle. It's just a circle. It never ends. They just, it'll come up again. You know, they get immigration. Then they let it go, 4 or 5 months? Another year, it'll come back again. I mean, it's the same topics,
It's like a cycle. It's a cycle.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's never going to stop. They just have to talk on it.
Right.
No, because you got people listening to news, on the internet, or whatever. So they're seeing all this stuff going on. It's just what they have to talk about. But it makes it hard for the people that's doing right, that's legal to get the jobs that the people that, don't have the proper documents, they can get away with a lot because they don't have to worry about taxes and all that type of stuff. So
exactly.
It's
exactly.
a big issue.
It is a very big issue. It's a very big issue. It's a touchy issue. A lot of people don't like to deal with that issue. It's very touchy, and I thank you for speaking on it. But I want all of us to remember that our rewards and our recognition will never come from our earthly employers, that we're working for one person and one person only, and that is God. It's all on the money, when you get your paycheck and you cash that check and they count that money out to you, it says, in God we trust. So we have to trust God. We have to trust him at his word, that he will give us what we need. We have to trust God at his word, that he will give us, you know, the things that we need. It is God that we are working for, and that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing to know, that God has a reward for us in heaven, and nobody can take it away. Nobody can throw us out. And God is good. Good evening, Rosalind, Minister Rosalind Jennings. Praise God. I thank God for you on today. We have our guest online with us, Mr. Crockett, and we have been discussing a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful discussion on issues in the workplace. We have 12 minutes remaining in the show. Minister Rosalind Jennings, if you want, I'll open up. Hey, you're right there. So let's, we're going to now place Minister Rosalind. You are on the air with a word for you.
Yes. Good evening, Minister Tracy and your guests. I just want to say this is a great show and a great topic because it's something that we all can relate to. You know, getting your guests is getting to the root to the problem, and I'm sure it's going to bring a lot of closure and a lot of peace in the mindset of the people. People are going to change the way they think about the workplace, and maybe it's time for people to step, you know, take action. Don't leave your job. Please don't do that. But look at more of being an entrepreneur, because we never become financially independent working for other people. But please keep your job, but work on a plan B to start your own business as well.
I like that. I like that. I like that. Thank you so much, Minister Ross. And I believe you have a business going on, don't you, Minister Roslin?
Right now I'm just doing Avon, and I'm doing another awesome. It's just a mentoring training going on where you get involved and let millionaires to train you, and it's just awesome to be around people that's already doing what you want to do. That's how you're going to be successful in life. First, you have to get to the root of the problem and forgive and release. There's a lot of people in our life. We have to forgive them and release them to go where God has taken us. But it feels good to be, you know, around other millionaires and other people, you know, like yourself, Minister Tracy, and others that, you know, support you as well. Because life is a give and take, and we have to learn how to support each other. So that's the main important thing, is to give and take and support each other as well.
Praise God. Before you go, Minister Rosalind, could you give your contact information out to our listening audience and for the ones that will be clicking onto our online?
Sure. Yes, thank you so much. Yes, my name is Minister Rosalind Jennings from the Power Forgiveness Show. I'm on a mission teaching people how to forgive. It's so important that we forgive ourselves and forgive others and forgive and release people out of our life. You can always go to my website, www.powerofforgivenessministries.com. Thank you so much. I have a question for your guest.
Mm-hmm.
What was the turning point that you decided that you wanted to change in your life and you wanted to bring awareness of tonight's show?
Changing my life?
Yes, and what made you want to bring awareness to help someone else as well? Because a lot of people are going through a lot of things at the workplace. So I just want to know, like, what was your point? What was the turning point in your life where you want to help others help themselves as well?
Well, I kind of always been like that, even on my job. You know, I see people going through it. I try to, you know, help them out. Because I'm the type of very, I speak up in a minute.
Yeah.
And I see people that's been in a situation where they be pushed around, and I catch myself getting involved. So I always kind of been that way, but that kind of get next to me.
Yeah.
So this show here kind of, again, you know, people listening, putting it out there, kind of get my output on things. It feels good. It's the first time I ever done this.
Good.
But
good.
That's, you know, this, I mean, I always kind of wanted to speak up out in public. But like I say, I've been going through things on the job and see people going through stuff, and I've always been that type to just step in and try to help people. You know, lead them in the right direction. Show them that, you know, don't lose your job behind stupidity or someone else trying to make you lose your job or whatever the case, whatever's going on at the time, at the job. I always try to, you know, because, and I've been on my job for 8 years, and I've been through a lot with that job, but I just don't pay them no attention because I'm there to try to, you know, I'm there to work.
That's correct.
Basically,
that's
not, don't let people, unless, like I always tell someone, you know, hopefully it never leads up to that. Unless you put your hands on me personally, all the other stuff is just petty. I don't even pay no attention. And people going to catch you. That's every day. You just got to know how to handle the situation. And now no matter what you do, and you really can't be arguing with people, you just got to know how to handle the situation because it's easy to go to jail now behind just words. So you just got to at people and just keep going and just say whatever, you know, because some people hate on you every day, you know.
That's correct.
Yeah. So you just got to move forward with your life, you know. Like you say, don't just look in that one avenue. Just, you know, you may want your own
business. Plan B and plan C sometimes.
right. But you always try to save every paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you never know. You just may get up one morning and say, you know what? I don't want this job no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't took enough. You know, I just want to move on. And I have done that too. I had a few jobs where I just didn't like, and I just boom quit and just went somewhere else. But I've putting up with this one for a while. But like I said, I always wanted to voice my opinion when people listen.
Praise God.
I hope they got.
Thank you so much that
they got a little bit out of
somebody
it.
I'm not the best speaker, but I
can.
Oh, you did
know.
A wonderful job.
Yes, you have.
God.
Well, you taught me one thing that you taught me is pick and choose your battles and also have a plan B or maybe a plan C in place before you leave your job.
Yes.
So thank you
so
much for encouraging me and others, and God bless you and much success to you as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Minister Rosalind, for your support and your input. I thank God for you. Praise God. Thank you so much. Oh, we have another guest that has come. We only have 6 minutes remaining. I thank God for the guests. Let me welcome our other guest here. And we're going to go ahead and close this show out. I want to thank my special guest, Mr. Crockett, for coming by to give us, you know, inform us and, you know, share with us the issues that he's had to face. And I'm sure somebody has been set free. Somebody has been given a tool that they can carry with them and their quest in life. Thank you so much, Mr. Crockett, for accepting the invitation to come on A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. And keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing a wonderful thing. And I truly appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. And now we're going to go ahead and close the show out because we have 5 minutes remaining. And, again, I want to thank everyone that joined us today, everyone in the chat room. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for stopping by, each and every one of you, for, you know, taking the time out of your time to listen to A Word for You. Our guest has been a wonderful man. Mr. Crockett, and I want to thank you once again. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to join us tonight. And it looks like we might have to have a part two, you know, a part two of issues in the workplace, because I tell you, 60 minutes just isn't enough time. But we're going to go ahead and end this show. And again, I want to thank everybody for stopping by to support us. And you keep on doing what you're doing for the Lord. And remember, your rewards does not come from your employer here, your earthly employer. Your rewards come from your heavenly employer. He has something just for you. You know, a place, a mansion, streets that are made of gold, where there's no more crying, no more sorrow, no more hurt. So just continue to push and move forward in your jobs, knowing that you're not working for that employer, but you're working for God. This has been your host, Tracy LaWanda, and thank you for stopping by. A Word for You, and I just want to make an announcement, and we will be closing. A Word for You will be back on the air Saturday, April 12th, 2008, at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. My guest will be Tanya White. she is, let me give you a few words to describe her. She's an author. She's a leader. She's a mentor. She's a teacher. That's just to name a few. She will be stopping by at a word for you to discuss her book with us, which is called Relationship Rerun, as well as giving us some golden nuggets for guaranteed success. So join us on Saturday, April 12, 2008 at 12 noon Pacific Standard Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sure we will have a good time, and I thank you. I want to just close this out with a word. Just know that everything that you're doing in life is not in vain. Continue to press forward in what it is that God has called you to do. Know that your employer is not your earthly employer, but your heavenly employer has a special reward for you. It's a place called heaven where there's no more crying and no more sorrow. And know that God has something special for you by His mercy and grace. Again, thank you for joining us at A Word for You on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tracy.
Talk Radio.